September 18th, 2013. 10 years ago, I sat a ball of nerves on a broken deck, nearly splitting in half if it weren't for the load-bearing pole it was connected to outside of a broken trailer that housed a more broken human. I stared at the caked-on, hastily painted white slats of the deck as my knee anxiously bounced out of rhythm to the bright eyes that had lightened my shadowed thoughts through a summer I would eventually call my best worst one yet. I was single after a failed relationship, working a fast food job full-time where I rode a mental roller coaster of suicidal peaks and optimistic valleys day in and day out. I was living on my own with two lovely roommates in a rundown mobile home where both rainwater and insects leaked through cracked popcorn ceilings, and I was grappling with the loss of yet another friend to heroin. However, on a lighter side, I wrote a lot of great tunes and spent time with even greater people to distract me from the looming cloud cast over this summery beach town. It's strange, though, because the music I was listening to calm myself was strangely foreshadowing the following 6 months of my life. Summer came, clouded my mind, and steered away any focus I had once had, leaving only a manic need to work, write, sleep, and repeat in an attempt to tip the scale of my mental state to a side that resembled happiness. And as the song began to crescendo to its final verse, I stood up when a car pulled in and out walked the winter I needed to clean my veins of a 20-year-long summer as I saw Nicole for the first time, emerge from the driver's seat so I could start living, not again, but for the first time. My name is James.
I'm Nicole.
And this is Mostly Speaking Spider-Man.
Oh, that was so sweet.
My heart.
God damn it.
What's up, guys? Like I said, my name is James. Sentimental. Don't get you anywhere. I'm kidding, guys. That's me. That's James. I'm in love with my co-host, my queen, the bricks, the nickel, emissary of hell, Jakis.
Hi.
How are you, my queen?
I'm good.
I'll probably take a lot of that. I'm a little out of breath today because allergies have been kicking me in the goddamn chest.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
You definitely weren't getting emotional.
I read it so many times thinking, oh yeah, you want to know what, James? You'll be good. You'll be good. But now I have 4 beady eyes on me saying, hey, make with the funny or shut with the fuck
oh,
up.
Oh my God.
That's what Nicole was saying. I will have to mute her and somehow isolate that from bleeding into my microphone.
Wow.
She might have to be canceled.
Uh-huh. Nicole, what were you like, where's this going? Or did you know instantly when I said September 18th, 2013?
Whatever the correct answer is.
You were like, oh my God, he knows of me.
Yeah.
Where you came over and we met for the first time to watch the Chris Gethard show. We watched the character-sourced, crowd-sourced creations. I'll take that again. No, I won't. We watched that to get you in the mood. And then what we thought was going to be them just spinning in a circle for a long time, getting dizzy for an entire hour, ended up being the mole episode. And goddamn, the Gimgul.
Gimgul.
Gimgul. And that's a decade of love, guys. Do you want to get with to introducing our guest?
Oh my gosh, we should.
You know him from the Henshins and Homies podcast. It's Zachary, maybe? Zachary?
That's right. Zach is cool, or Sergeant Hooked on Heroes. Either way, doesn't really
matter.
So
not Zachary.
Not Zachary.
If I'm in trouble, if you guys are trying to get my attention because I've offended you, then yes.
Zachariah.
There you go.
All right, Zachariah.
That's if you're trying to like summon him from another dimension.
A portal. Yeah, yeah,
ooh.
Yeah. Like you're trying to get a demon, but I'm the one that shows up instead. Mm-hmm, sorry. Mm-hmm.
Would I be upset? I'm like, because I'm curious, will a demon come out? But if a human comes out who looks very nice, I'm probably going to be excited because yeah. One, I know this portal shit works. And then two, I don't have to deal with a demon.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Because what if that breaks bad?
Or unless I killed the demon.
Oh. Well, then I'm harboring a fugitive, so I don't want that. I'm trying to be on Satan's good side.
Whoa.
I am. Everyone knows this.
You're trying to be a true emissary of hell, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But emissary isn't a is the emissary a friend or an adversary?
I thought emissary meant like a messenger, like a harbinger. Yeah.
Okay, all right. I keep getting it confused. I was about to say we keep getting
that. Yeah, it's like
that.
A representative. Like, yes. Yeah.
Saying you're like...
A brand ambassador.
An Amway agent.
Uh-huh.
Amway's the Grand Rapids people, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh.
Our old Secretary of State or whatever she was. The DeVos lady. No education. Probably. Jesus Christ. At least put her in business. At least you can be like, yeah, she kind of knows something, but she ran for-profit colleges.
Wow. You heard it here, folks. James hates women being in positions of power.
No, I'm saying
and
no.
Success.
No. What I'm saying is already.
Canceled.
She should have been in a business situation because Amway, they know how to sell goods. Mm-hmm. But education, unless it's Girl Scouts.
They're trying to turn it into a business.
Oh, okay. Education? Yes, yeah. They are. Fuck. You are right.
You're welcome.
Has it not been for the longest time? At least college? Whoops. Let me say that.
No, community college. That's where I went.
Yeah.
Which is just an extension of high school.
Pretty much.
Did you go to MCC?
I did. I went for game design there. Ooh, so did that and then went off to Western for creative writing. So there you go.
We're West Michiganders.
That's right.
Yeah.
What's your favorite? Okay, so Nicole and I are notorious for constantly, with no pause, shitting on Western Michigan. We hate it, especially Muskegon. Fair. Muskegon's terrible. Listeners... Would you like to defend the area? And maybe, like, what's your favorite place to go or just a favorite thing about the glorious Western Michigan?
My perspective has changed a little bit now that I have kids. So, like, basically they're park connoisseurs. So every park they can go to, they're excited about. And in more recent years, they've at least made a slight kind of attempt to, like, sort of, like, use up some of the space that was just unused space and unused buildings, you know? So it's gotten better, but I understand, like, there's lots of it where it's like, okay, why am I here? But I actually live mostly in Whitehall, and Whitehall's really pretty nice, so I can't really complain about it. But I get it.
You should take your kids to Riverside Park so they can, like, fight intermediate school kids.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's how we build character.
Uh-huh. Take them to Mullally Park, then they're fighting middle school kids.
There we go.
Then take them to Riverside Park where they'll fight. Again, high school kids.
If only their choreography can be as amazing as this episode that we watched for this. Oh, my goodness.
What's your... We'll get into Spider-Man shortly. What's your favorite restaurant, local restaurant in the area?
There is a pretty good place in Whitehall. It's newer within the last 2 to 3 years. It's called Bone Ends, and it's a barbecue place, and it is fantastic. Every time we've gone there, amazing service, beautiful, delicious food. Prices are fine. Everything about it. We've never had a problem with it. So, yeah.
Hell yeah.
They're pretty great.
Endorsement here. Give us some money.
Please.
Is Dogs and Suds in Whitehall?
You know what's sad? They are completely and utterly out of business as a restaurant fully, as a building.
No.
But they are still a, like, tiny itty-bitty little stand / like, food truck type of thing, and that's it. I think COVID slapped them around pretty hard, so.
They're still selling root beer, though, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Because the aforementioned Chris Gethard would want to drink some of that root beer.
Yeah. See, I feel like that... Wasn't that like you drive in your car and they bring it to you? I feel like that would have been a good thing for COVID.
It was set up like the old school systems where in the 50s where you would literally go up and like, it was like a little phone setup out there with like a micro, like a, how the audio works at like a drive-in basically. Mm-hmm. And you would tell them your order and they'd bring it out like old school style. And it was cool, but it was the same setup as like I just said, until more recently when the drive-in was bought by Cinema Carousel and everybody, where every year it was a bidding war of who was going to buy it, or else it was going to go into foreclosure, done, not being used anymore. And eventually that just got to a point where nobody wanted to buy it. And so now they're just reduced down to a tiny food truck. Very sad.
Dogs and Suds, I have never been to. But I know when you go, is it when you go to like downtown Whitehall, or am I thinking of like Montague? I always get those two confused.
It's on the way to Montague. As you leave Whitehall and go across the bridge, it's like the first thing you get to across the bridge.
All right. So. See, that's what it's ingrained in my mind, that one. And of course, the one right across from the carousel.
Yes.
Never went though.
It was decent. I mean, I think it was more just like a funny, quirky thing, you know, tourist trappy thing, than actually having anything that was impressive food-wise. Yeah. So, and I think they just fell with the times and just weren't willing to update anything at all. And so people stopped caring. And then COVID happened and really made it not a thing anybody wanted to do. So.
Yeah, but Nicole, you were correct. Like, that's a perfect restaurant model to be COVID-friendly of, hey, we'll make your food.
Right.
We'll put it at on the clip-on of the window, and then you roll down your window and you just are able to take your food.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I want to say that they were actually done before even COVID. Like it's they've not been like in hopping business for a while.
No.
So yeah, it's pretty sad, but I mean, when dum-dums run it, that's what's going to happen. So
yeah. Well, Nicole, do you want to get into Spider-Man?
Okay.
Zach, what's your experience with Spider-Man at large? Not just this series.
I mean, lots. I mean, like a lot of people, mine was starting with in the 90s with the Spider-Man animated series, you know, the original 90s.
Oh, wait, yes. No, that's X-Men.
That's X-Men, actually. My wife does it every time. My wife, Hannah, does it every time. She goes, oh, wait, that's X-Men. I'm like, yeah. She goes, it's a better theme song. I'm like, stop it. No, it's not.
There's a song by Susie Sad and the something. They are the ones who did The Looker, that song that I really like from
She's a looker.
That's what they say.
That's what they say.
It's from...
She's got it all. Yeah, she's got it made.
I have listened to that song so much, I don't know any of the lyrics. I would love to start asking or like some sort of podcast, Nicole.
Okay.
Where it's just, hey, Nicole, you tell me the albums you know from front to back purely through osmosis because I listen to them ad nauseum.
Yeah.
And you would know, I don't know how we would do it, format it, but there's something there because.
Do you need another one?
Yeah.
You told us about like 20 that you do.
Yeah, I do a lot.
Yeah.
I worry about you.
I added another one since we've been gone.
Oh, great.
It's a mini series though. It's Jose and I were getting high and watching all the Trancer movies.
Oh, okay.
It's a man, Trancers, two thumbs up. We're recording an episode tomorrow. I'm so excited. He brings me weed. But they have a song that it came out in like the 70s. The group, I'll put it in the episode description. They have a song that it has a riff that is so identical to the man. I'm like, did this dude work on these songs? But no, he didn't. To the point where I'm like, they got a case on their hands.
Right.
How does a Spider-Man one go?
Oh, that's the... And then most of the lyrics are radioactive spider blood. Just keep saying spider blood, radioactive spider blood.
Spidarian X.
Yes, yeah. So that was my first initial, like, exposure to it. And then, like, a lot of people, the original Raimi films, eventually the... Andrew Garfield films, and then I really enjoy the Tom Holland films and where he's at in the Avengers and, you know, MCU stuff. And then one of my favorite experiences with it was the recent Marvel Spider-Man PS4 game. Mm-hmm. I don't have a PS5 to play the sequel, and I'm saddened by it, but our mutual friend Tyler does, and I want to murder him just to play it. But probably shouldn't do that because he's my best friend. So
just go over to his house. His birthday's coming up. Maybe say
it
like,
is. And hey. He lives right now currently in Grand Rapids, but he's going to be pretty soon, hopefully. hopefully maybe moving closer. We'll see. So
we'll go over for his birthday and say, hey, bud, happy birthday. Hey, I got to use the bathroom real quick. And then you just
steal it.
I was going to say sneak off to his PS5 and just start playing it. And eventually he'll be like, where'd he go? Oh, shoot. You can just come over and play this if you want, right?
No, jump through the window with it.
Oh, no. And then that's when he finds out you got that web slinging.
Yeah, you got that spider
glove. I got that spider in me.
Yeah.
I got that dog in me. I got that spider in me.
So, yeah, not a lot of the comics. I mean, I say that, but, like, I have recently gotten into, because of the Spider-Verse movies, I got really hard over the summer, the middle of the summer, into the Miles Morales Spider-Man comics for a while. Really enjoy those. I think they're a nice, fresh take on things. I think they kind of really look at it at a different angle than what we got with Peter Parker. And I feel like it doesn't get quite the credit that it needs, depending on what circles you run in online and stuff. People are either super racist because how dare person of color be Spider-Man, mm-hmm. or people that are just jerks and don't think that he can be called Spider-Man, which is just stupid and it's a different conversation. But comic-wise, mainly Miles Morales, and then Peter Parker for the rest of the other shows and movies and games. So, yeah.
That's baffling.
I mean, I don't think that's a different conversation. I think it's the same.
It's yeah. I mean, like, racism. Not what we need to take up the whole episode with.
From working at a comic book store before any of the Spider-Verse movies came out, like, I only ever heard good things about it mm-hmm. and recommendations good. For it.
Good. Yeah. There's just really ridiculous people. And then it's funny because they always get slapped around when people bring up the thing from Stan Lee talking about that literally it's just a mask and anybody can take the mantle and be mm-hmm. the hero, which is like the cornerstone of what Spider-Man is in general. But, you know, people decide to just forget that coincidentally when it doesn't work in their favor.
Do people ever bring up, hey, so what about the pig? You're okay with that?
Right, right. That's where they draw the line with, like, the pig Spider-Ham was fine, but, like, person of color Spider-Man is a problem. Like, okay, cool.
Has Howard the Duck ever been Spider-Man? I know he's been Deadpool.
Maybe. In comics, there's, like, a million different multiverses, so probably somewhere, I would think, maybe. But I know for sure there's Spider-Ham, and then there's actually Meowis Morales or something like that. It's like a cat that's Miles Morales in the Spider-Ham universe.
Hell yeah.
That makes me happy. But yeah, that's my exposure.
Nicole, what's your exposure with Spider-Man?
I love Spider-Ham and all the puns.
Okay. I've never read a single
Ant-Man.
Spider-Man.
Okay, my favorite, I'm sorry, but my favorite Ant-Man is just Ant-Ant.
In the Spider-Ham universe, yes. Yeah. He's just an ant. He's an actual ant.
So his name is Ant-Ant. Instead of Ant-Man.
Because he can't be Ant-Man. There's no people in their universe.
Yeah.
It's Cyrus Garamini just shredding on the guitar.
I don't know who that is.
It's Honus just shredding on vocals. It's Brett Morin. Because they're all in a band called Man-Man. I was like, well, if there's an Ant-Ant, who would be like a Man-Man? I was like, well, that's a band.
Got it.
Cause is it like a more sufficient ant? Like, I am the ant of all ants, or like, hey man,
I've only ever seen it like once or twice, but I remember just seeing the name and about losing it for a good 5 minutes because of the unnecessary nature of it, but also necessary at the same time.
Yeah, I don't remember what the powers were. I was just loving all of the puns. Like, they do all the different like superheroes but as animals with like pun names. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's pretty beautiful, honestly.
Oh, Daredevil is Deer-Devil.
Oh, yes. Hell yeah.
I think
that's
Captain
terrifying.
America is like what is he? Is he a gorilla maybe, or I can't remember what. No, I'm sorry. That's there's an offshoot goofy thing with the Marvel Zombies thing where they did a whole thing where everybody was gorillas and it was really stupid. I would think he would be an eagle just to be super America, the pun, but
yeah,
you know.
I don't remember.
Or a gun.
Just a gun?
Yeah.
Captain Gunmerica.
A baby probably. With a gun.
Ah.
Yeah.
Because America, we're such a young country.
Yeah.
We're young, dumb, and full of gun.
Wow.
Thank you.
Shirt.
Spider-Man.
Name of the episode.
Spider-Man.
Shout out to the Tokusatsu Network.
Spider-Man.
Episode 13, entitled The Skull Gang versus the Demonic Hearse. Real quick rundown. Actually, real quick, what'd you think of this?
You know, I've been for a long time been wanting to watch this because I know, like, the show in general, because I know it's absolutely the most unhinged, chaotic tokusatsu thing that can ever be. And I was right. Even with one episode, I was absolutely proven right. It was pretty much, like, not even 0 to 100. It just started at 100 miles an hour right away. It was just, we didn't see the ignition. We were just already in the driver's seat, all going off a cliff with the insanity in this one.
Not even a driver's seat. They were on that driver's hog.
Dude, man, there was a lot happening. There was, like super necessary biker gang, and then, like, also sad dad of biker gang man, I guess. And then also Spider-Man, who, like, his spider sense is being psychic, which is interesting. A take on that, I guess. But it was fun, and it was cool to see, like, the effects. Like, when he would do the web, sometimes it'd be a physical web. Other times it'd just be a little green, little glop effect from back in the day, you know, because they didn't have the effects we do now. My favorite part was near the end when he tried to call the Marveler, you know, his vehicle. He goes up to his little wrist thing. It's not he just, like, Marveler just says it to it and summons it. He's like, Marveler! And he's, like, saying it, and, like, it focuses on him yelling for an uncomfortable amount of time. He's like, Marveler! Like, okay, we're gonna cut it. And then it finally shows it and then becomes Leopardon. So that was fascinating. Yeah, it was a chaotic ride.
There is actually an in-universe reason why he has to scream it.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, it is using the microphone from Hey You Pikachu. That's why he's got to scream
absolutely
at it.
God damn it. It was so much fun to watch. I always get a kick out of it, its existence as a show, because it was like sort of right around the time when Stan Lee was like, hey, let's bring Son Vulcan over here and tried to get it adapted. And then they laughed Stan Lee out of the room. So then, like, he's like, okay, cool. And then they had no idea that he was working on bringing Spider-Man over to Japan. And Toy Spider-Man was so successful with having the robot in it that Sentai started having robots because of Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. So that's just an impact. If Stan Lee would never been born, we would never have Mecha in Sentai. That's just insanity to me. But it's a wild, wild show in pretty much every way it can be.
But, you know, if we didn't have Mecha in Super Sentai, it might not have, the giant robot stuff, the super robots, all of that, might not have grown as much as it did for the need for Gundam to really make an influence. And that means we wouldn't have had Evangelion, and that's a world I wouldn't mind living in.
Right. I've thought about that too, because, like, technically there would have been, like, anime and other things around that time, but they would have been probably inspired in some way by shows like this to exist. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the whole mecha genre would not be a thing.
Or it might not be as prevalent as it is. Mm-hmm. And again, if we can get Evangelion out of here, I'll do what we need to do.
Oh my gosh.
Zach, let us hear you say, Evangelion, no thank you.
It's never interested me, I guess. Okay. But the same person that worked on it also did Shin Ultraman and Shin Godzilla and, you know, Anno, Hideaki Anno, right? Is he just do the only, like, okay, yeah. So, like, I like him and I've heard decent stuff about it, but I also don't have enough time in my life with other stuff that I watch to be able to watch it, I guess. So, yeah, no, I'm all set.
Yeah, but you could say that same thing about, like, Justin Bieber. He did Shoddy Maine, don't want any of that, but Baby, Baby, Baby O? He gets his peaches from Georgia and his weed from California? Yes, please. But Shoddy Maine, no thank you. I love, Gigi Allen made Carnival of Excess, fantastic, but he also made insert any other album by Gigi Allen, heating on him.
Wow, roasted.
ICP made Thy Unveiling, but they also made everything else.
So do you remember that zine that we got in at Chicago Comics? It was like my obsession with Gigi Allen.
Yes, I own it somewhere.
There was recently we got in a part two, which was like my falling out of...
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was like, weird.
Zach, are you aware of who Gigi Allen is?
I'm assuming a musician, but I don't know.
Very hardcore underground punk rocker from the early 80s up until the mid 90s when he passed away. And just notorious for his stage antics, which included like bleeding himself on stage, pissing on people, shitting on the stage, throwing it into the crowd, taking whole hi-hats, throwing them into the crowd, all of these things, doing drugs. He was an unhinged individual. If you look into his past, you'll be like, well, there's reasons why he might be unhinged.
The last thing you said was the doing drugs, as if like it was the least chaotic thing compared to the rest. And it probably just explains all of it. I don't know.
Okay, am I remembering wrong? Did he shove a microphone up his own ass?
Oh, of course you know he did.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's how you get the best sound quality, I bet.
Oh, yes, man. You're like, oh, there's no microphone bleed. It's all anal bleed.
Yeah.
There you go.
Name of the episode?
No.
Anal bleed.
No.
He's a like very hardcore, like, yeah, man, if you love underground rock, you love him. But he's also an absolute monster and a piece of shit, like unforgivable stuff. So
yeah.
I have had that juggling of, do I like this person? And as a teenager, there are a few albums of his. Carnival of Excess, I think, is a masterpiece, especially knowing where he came from. It's this country album, all acoustic. It's beautiful, well-produced, which might be more on the producer who did this and not so much on Gigi Allen.
Boy, I should not have looked up him on Google Images. Lord, I'm not seeing anything awful, but like everything you say makes sense.
Yeah.
Every bit of it.
Brutality and Bloodshed for All is great. And Doctrine of Mayhem, but all the other stuff, he's just a straight up monster. So I have that but pretty much I think literally no one's making money off from it. Like if you listen to his music, and he's been dead for longer than I've been alive.
Was it like I don't mean to like, it's more for curiosity, but like, was it like an overdose basically? Or
oh yeah.
Yeah, okay. I just didn't know if it was something wild stunt he did and he died on stage or something.
Oh, no, he tried.
Seems like it makes,
every single Halloween, he said he was going to kill himself on stage, but he would always get arrested beforehand because people were suspecting, like, well, the police know about this dude. He was banned in a lot of cities, couldn't go to a lot of them. And yeah, he's a piece of shit, but goddamn, some of those albums are masterpieces for what they are, and the rest of them sound terrible, and I don't know why anyone enjoys them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know if it's the best way to compare to Hideaki Anno necessarily. I feel like he's a decent human, but like, I get where you're going.
He made great stuff, but he also made some
what
shit.
What I'm hearing is you didn't like Evangelion.
No. You know the Joker, that movie, Todd Phillips?
Yeah.
He did The Hangover. His first movie ever was a documentary called Hated about Gigi Allen.
Oh, was the guy in it? Or did they have somebody play him? Or like, no,
they filmed up until he died.
Oh, okay.
So that documentary is great. Todd Phillips, two thumbs up to him. Gigi Allen, one of these kind of fingers.
Yeah. Like a very shaky,
Don't know up or down.
Don't know sideways or down.
Yeah, sideways or down. One of them might be up. Again, I cannot stress, especially the remasters of Carnival of Excess. Again, could be the producer of that. Carmelita alone is, God fucking damn it, I would be on the swing sets in high school.
Dude, we gotta get into this episode.
Quick rundown of this episode. There's a biker. He's running every which way. He's in a gang. He says, "Dad, fuck you. Give me some money." And then, Iron Cross Army kills him and makes him a chameleon. And Spider-Man's trying to help out this dude. And that's the episode. There's not a lot of story in this one.
Nah. There's just a lot. But like I said, it's the pacing that's just at like 3x light speed. Like, it's just like, here's Barker Gang, here is dad, here is bad guys, also Spider-Man, now he's dead. Not Spider-Man, the guy. And also he's a monster, and now he's dead too. Guess what? Your son's dead. End of the episode.
Like, it's... If anyone was like, hey, what's an episode? I can't find any of the subtitled versions. What's one that I could watch without knowing any of the language, but truly know every beat of the story? It's this episode.
Yeah, pretty much.
I really like this episode.
Ooh, hell yeah.
I am a little disappointed that the hearse wasn't demonic in any way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you would think it would be, you know, with the villains and all, but no.
Demonic hearse? I'll give you the chronic hurt. I'll break your bones so unevenly they can't heal back properly.
Oh. Got him. I'm proud of you.
Okay, really?
So is she? Question mark.
What's up, Nicole? You said
no, we're staying on track.
I thought you were going another to be on track.
No, it was like a related thing.
Tangent. Pain, chronic hurt.
Okay, you keep asking. I'll just say it real fast. My brother, when he was little, he broke his arm and it didn't heal right. And like, we would joke that if he like put his arm out straight, he'd like point around the corner.
Hell yeah.
Because it was like, man, so fucked up.
Aww.
Yeah. It's good now.
Everyone's unique.
It's good now.
Did he try and heal it with one of those Kinex wheels?
Yeah.
You know, like Lego. But it was a bunch of long string tubes.
Like the budget for this episode? Because.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you, like, when I started watching anything Tokusatsu, it was more like modern day stuff, right? So, like, I had no idea, like, what budget really meant. Then I started making my way into Showa, into this, and it was like, oh, we're on, like, some, like, classic Doctor Who type string and a moldy sandwich type budget. Oh, boy. The effects are my favorite thing in this entire show. And I say effects with a huge quotation mark around them. I really enjoy them. Like, they did the best they could, but wow. Especially when the monster grows. That was cool.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's great.
So we start out in the Iron Cross Army's base, and you see all these dudes in these, like, plexiglass tombs of like, who will we turn into the next BEM machine?
Yeah.
How long do you think those actors had to be in there?
I don't know.
2 hours?
Yeah. And I feel like I always wonder about like I wonder even modern day how uncomfortable some of the suits are, but goddamn, back in the day they didn't have like workplace condition standards and like OSHA things and stuff. So I really worry about like the standards of things. Like, I know with this show, because they did for a while, and I think they may have taken it down, but there was a thing on Disney Plus for a while where they were doing, like, behind the scenes of a lot of stuff, and they did it about this show. And I was like, whoa, holy moly. And so they talked about how the actor did, like, his own climbing stunts up, like, skyscrapers and shit with, like, little to no harness.
Yeah, we watched that, too. It's crazy.
Yeah. So, like, probably wasn't very comfortable is what I would say.
I thought the same thing. We watched Eerie Indiana. I want to keep watching it, but there was an episode where like there were these two boys who have been young since the 50s. That's because every night they sleep in these specific huge Tupperware beds and like they burp it and everything. But you see them go into that Tupperware and in my mind, I'm like, well, that's real Tupperware. They're not going to have any oxygen for a while. What are they doing?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But there was probably holes on the other side that you couldn't see.
Yeah.
But wait, they were also going in there and it was full of fog. So if that's just dry ice fog, they're dead. Oh, no.
No, they're fine. We saw them at the end of the episode.
Well, yes, I know. But I mean the actors. That's why they grew big, because the kid actors died.
Yeah.
That's right. They had to cover it up somehow.
We see, so the guy in the Iron Cross Army, Dr. Monster, Professor Monster, he's rolling around in a hearse.
What a name. Nothing else he's doing in his life other than being a part of an evil organization to force people to be monsters.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
He's not going to be like, oh, can you go to the grocery store and get some from the deli? Professor Monster's going to be there butchering today. Nope.
if he has to go into hiding, he says, oh, it's Professor Monster. I'm French.
Yes. I'm named after it's actually Professor Kaiju.
I'm named after the cheese, Monster cheese.
Monster cheese, yes.
But that...
Yeah.
Monster?
Yeah, Monster.
But you said Monster.
Yeah, Monster. But he doesn't know. He has to come up with it real quick.
He's an idiot to everything else except for how make Monster.
He's so half robot. He's not eating cheese, Nicole.
You know, Troy, that'd be a hit. Short circuit would be his weakness.
Oh, it'd gum up the works.
Yeah, these old school shows were dark like that, though. They're just like, yep, we're going to kidnap people and just like straight rip them apart and augment them. Okay, kids, watch it. Buy the toys. Make sure.
Gotta do it.
There will be at minimum two people per episode just straight up dying.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes.
Man, there was that episode of Mega Ranger. What if when the Red Ranger punched that kid, he died? Like, that would have been on the level of Spider-Man. Spider-Man would have done that. Kid's dead. And then Spider-Man has to grapple with, oh, shoot, I accidentally killed a kid.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't hold back my punch enough. Whoops.
Yeah.
But that hearse is utterly macabre.
Yeah, it's nice. I wonder if it was fun to drive. You know, like, nowadays in movies, they have like a billion copies of the vehicle they're using in like a chase scene. Mm-hmm. I don't think they probably did at that point. Just the one. And it probably was wrecked by the like halfway through the shoot or something.
Yeah. And speaking of, so all of a sudden, this biker gang comes up to them and starts like kicking at the hearse, and they're like, hey, get out of here, you fogies. So would you rather ride in a hearse or drive the hearse or ride on a motorcycle, but every time you see any hearse whatsoever, you have to go up to it and start kicking at it? So if it's like, if you're in the front of a funeral procession, you have to be like, oh, sorry, I got to go try and kick at this hearse while there's a grieving family.
I have
family.
A job to do. Sorry, ma'am. Sorry for your loss, but also fuck this hearse.
I would drive it.
Drive the hearse?
Yeah. I would want to bully the hearse. You never said we're bullying the people, so now I got to like bully an inanimate object. So I'm like, psh, look at your four wheels. Come on, man, you need more horsepower. What are you doing?
Oh, dang. But Nicole, the hearse always has a body in it.
That's fine.
All right.
I'm not going to ride in the hearse. That means I'm dead
with
in
the
it.
Body.
Oh, also, by a body, I mean like a stud.
Whoa. Is it you?
It only ever transports hunks.
Uh-huh. They're dead, though.
Oh, no.
Drop dead gorgeous.
Oh, damn.
Drop dead gorgeous because they're Medusa.
Okay, next scene.
Yes. So we find out Takuya, aka Spider-Man, he respects the art, the sport of biking, because he's in this arcade. These bikers come in and start pushing people around, and he's like, hey, why are you guys doing that? And the narrator starts saying, Takuya, he loves biking, and these people are disrespecting
these
it.
These ne'er-do-wells.
And then he goes outside, they start beating and punching him. And it's crazy, like, he's Spider-Man. I know he needs to, people are watching. And it's a good thing, actually. Yeah. No, he knew something was in the hearse, and he was like, someone might be watching me. I should not exert my full strength, because then they're like, oh yeah, that Takuya who we keep seeing everywhere and is around a lot of Spider-Man events, but never in the same room. I guess we were right. He is Spider-Man.
Yeah. He like, proportionally, I think about has the strength of a spider when he pushed away like 10 people with a fingertip. Yeah, no, that's probably him. He's always really sticky.
I do think, though, that biker gangs need to go back to this, i.e.
Yeah.
Just stone cold foxes, all of them.
Dude, the fits were ridiculous. The biker fits, they were... I don't understand why they were like, we're intimidating biker man. You should be. I'm not. No, it's not scary. If anything, most are going to be attracted to you, sir. Not intimidated. They weren't even dirty at all.
That's like, I believe in Voyage of the Rock and Roll Aliens. The biker gang in that is just like a hot guy. And he's like, don't mess with my girlfriend. And if you do, I'll sing at you.
Yeah. That'll teach him.
But also, like, we're into you even more because you're singing at us.
Yeah.
Right. That's intergalactic right there.
Always. Nicole, you gotta watch that movie.
No.
It's so good. Voyage of the Rock Aliens. So then we're introduced to this, the biker leader's father, because he comes up and is like, quit beating that young boy, son. And they're like, son, what? Pops, dad?
What? You have a dad? Oh, you're so lame. What a dork. God. No, we don't have dads. Like, they were like ridiculous about him having a dad. It was silly.
Yeah.
Why did I write down this photographer always running his mouth?
I mean, the dad is a photographer.
Was he always running his mouth?
I mean, that's what the gang thinks, I guess.
I don't remember.
Couldn't tell ya.
But my next note is, it's Takuya. He goes back to the studio, his photography studio, to tend to this old man's wounds, bandage him up a little bit. And he's saying, oh, that was my son. He left when my wife died. And it's like, hey, let your son grieve. And then he says, oh, he thinks he's in a biker gang and the leader. Okay, sir, he's just as much, in quotes, thinking he's the leader of a biker gang as you think you are a professional photographer, because I don't see a goddamn customer anywhere.
You know what I see? A motherfucking biker gang with bikes and other dudes who call him boss. Uh-huh. Anyway.
Yeah. I just realized something. Takuya, when that photographer died, he should have called up Hitomi and been like, hey, there's a lot of equipment that no one is using right now.
Wow.
And I'm pretty sure this man has no next of kin.
Yeah.
Because one of them's a chameleon.
He definitely told me that I could have it.
Yeah.
No.
I was the last one to speak to him. He was calling me to put me in his will.
Yes. You're my real son.
And then we see the biker gang just driving, and a cop on an intercom, a megaphone while driving, just says, stop driving like a lunatic or I'll pull you over. Which in America would just be like, hey, you know why I ran you down? Your left back light was flickering. And it's like, that was just my blinker, sir.
You want to know why I ran you over and then backed over your ass?
Because you're mean to your dad. Go home and talk to your dad and fix your relationship.
Cops over here are like, you want to know how I got these scars?
Oh, my God. Helping people reconnect with their dads.
Do you guys got any notes?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But, like, they're...
Because I've been keeping this shit going.
Like, yeah, they're just, like, plot notes, though.
Oh, okay. Then my next plot note is... We see Takuya, he's, I guess, in his father's old room, but how this is framed up, he's grieving and looking at a picture of his father, who, by the way, is busted. Clearly, the mother was the one with the looker jeans. She's a little
rude.
But it looks like he's peeing in the fireplace.
Yeah, the way that he's standing.
It looks like he's holding his little genitals, aiming.
Why do you have to...
His little genitals. We've seen him in shorts.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that was that time. That it was very tiny shorts during that time period. Yes. I really enjoy it because, like, I know that, like, the, like, starting point of the show is, like, his dad dying or whatever. Yeah. Like, that was, like, a big plot thing. And so I like how, like, only 13 episodes in, he's, like, revisiting it like it wasn't, like, a recent thing that happened within the last few weeks to him. It'd be different if it was, like, 40, you know, episode 40 or something, but it's, like, episode 13, he's like, oh, that's right, this reminds me that my dad died.
I will give some leeway towards that, because the day his father died, he became Spider-Man and is thrusted into this intergalactic battle to save Earth. Yeah. He hasn't had time to reflect on it.
Fair. Okay. Yeah.
In the beginning, the Zone Army, not the Zone Army, God damn it, this isn't Five Man, the Iron Cross Army get a chameleon and they say it's from our Latin America branch, which could that be? No. Is that Amazon in South America?
Yes.
Could this be... could they try and be linking this with Kamen Rider Amazon? Who knows? Whoa. We don't have time.
I thought that was honestly like a little like sideways little like dig at or like point at Kamen Rider, because you get that in the original 71 show where they talk about that there's branches all over the world. And eventually when they bring in Nigo as Kamen Rider for a while, when the actor who played Hongo got in his motorcycle accident, the other actor took over. And it talks about how the reason he's not there is because he's fighting Shocker all over the world. So I thought that was like a little reference to like doing that same thing. A lot of this show feels like Rider, but with Spider-Man spliced in. So,
which this, there could have been sequel series where, hey, we took down the head, but there's still these smaller branches that are going to try and rise up. He could have just been going to different areas of the world, taking down baddies.
Yeah.
Oh my God, this could have been a luchador show, Nicole.
What?
Oh, I guess. they have a Latin America, like, hey, we're in there. Mexico, and just have it completely all Spanish, but it is still a tokusatsu show, which most luchador shows or movies, I mean, were back in like the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
Oh,
absolutely.
My God, that would have been.
I was always impressed that like they never took any other Spider-Man related thing at all other than the character himself into the show. Like, there's nothing else, like Green Goblin or like any villains. It's just Spider-Man. And then like
the budget.
Yeah, sure. But you know what I mean? Like not even anything that's like a reference, but I guess it was whatever rights they got.
Yes, it's the rights. But there are two examples. Speaking of professional wrestling, there is a professional wrestling episode that Sean will be on that the villain is just the Thing. It's 100% the Thing. And then later on, it's as if someone had silver spray paint and just spray painted the Green Goblin, like the pumpkin masked Green Goblin. And it's like, oh, let's just spray paint this. All right, we got a villain. And that's one of the best villains in the entire show.
Ooh.
As well it should be.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But speaking of, man, it's insane how Sentai has yet to do a wrestling gimmick. It's baffling.
Yeah, the closest you get, not in Sentai, the current Rider show, Gotchard, one of the cards that he uses to transform is Wrestler G the card. But that's it. Yeah, no, it's actually been a thing for a while in the fandom where we're like, where is that? As far as like a Sentai or Rider idea, like it'd be easy as hell to do. Plus there's that exact thing, mass wrestling type stuff that happens in Japan too.
Yeah.
So like, do it. Come on.
It's baffling. It looks like he pee-peed. His dad is busted. That was a no. Uh-huh.
And also very dead. I cannot stress that enough.
So the dude comes back. Yes, he's very dead. The leader of the biker gang comes back to his dad's house, and the dad's like, oh, you actually showed up. Oh, my God. I love you so much. I made you dinner. And the son goes, ew. You mean that bland roast beef? I brought a chicken sandwich home, slaps it on. Yeah.
He like knocks over the food too. I was like, that's a dick move, because food in these shows be looking exquisite no matter what era of the show you're watching. My God. Not okay.
Says, give me money for my bike. Rips his wallet out of his hand and is like, this is all you got, you bum? And I'm like, what? You're the one coming in here.
Also, we've seen this same situation play out with Takuya when he ruined his bike, aka the Iron Cross Army ruined his bike. When asking his sister for money, he is on his hands and knees begging, saying, President of Financial Stability in the Household, please, may I have money to fix my bike? And she says, I don't know, man. All right. And then Hitomi sees that and goes, all right, I need to make sure when I marry him, I'm in control of the money.
You know what, though? That's interesting, because my favorite version of Spider-Man is whenever he is broke as hell. It's my favorite thing to see him like average, everyday poor man Spider-Man. So like, that's a cool little reference.
I wouldn't mind him, I don't know, middle class, a real American, wife, three kids, nuclear family.
Only does Spider-Man swinging around 9 to 5. Just leaves the city on its own.
A gun.
Yeah, he has a gun.
Oh, God.
Maybe it shoots webs.
Yeah,
Instead of him going thwip thwip with his wrist, no, he has a gun to do it.
And it doesn't go bang. It just like, it makes the gunshot like effect, you know, but it just says thwip every time.
I guess that's just a grappling hook, like pretty Batman.
Because I would get out of the gun and load another.
It's just stringy. I guess he'd have to thwip like this and then have scissors so he can cut it. Oh, no. He just like presses it again and it's like a caulk gun, how it squeezes it off.
Yeah.
Yes.
There we go.
Very convenient.
That's a real American hero.
That's right.
Spider-Man with a gun.
Blue collar Spidey.
And you know he has a 401k.
I wrote, this man falls a lot, referencing the dad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he really does. That was getting silly.
Yeah.
Yeah, the actor has a well of sadness he can pull from. Like, he's the saddest sad sack I have ever seen.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's what happens when... what's that one dude's name from A Christmas Carol? Scrooge.
Yeah.
He's when Scrooge, like, he sees the visions. Okay. He wants to be a good person, but no one will allow him to be, so he's just sad. He's like, oh, fuck, I know how life is going to end up, but I want to be different. And people are like, no, we don't believe you.
Yeah.
Sad dad hours.
You a sad dad?
Who, me?
Yeah.
It depends. I mean, on a certain stressful day, I guess, maybe, but like it gets better. I don't stay sad dad. It's momentary.
that's what you want. Sean and I realized like all dads should strive to hold like divorced dad on the weekend energy, but always be happily married, but on the weekends give that divorced dad energy, because then it's like, yeah, dad's fun, but during the Monday through Friday, we're gonna be stern. But weekends, we're going to play.
Mm, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So we're back to the Iron Cross Army after the dad followed somehow Amazonas back to this clinic. And when Amazonas comes in, she goes, oh, did the surgery take? Is it complete? Professor Monster says, fool, you were followed. Then he laser beams with his eye a deer statue on the wall.
Yeah.
It evaporates and he says, do you understand? And I'm so glad, Nicole, you said, no, I don't.
Yeah, it was a mounted deer head on the wall.
It doesn't, I don't understand.
I was
Zach?
Like, I guess maybe he's like, that's you.
Yeah.
But like,
but we didn't get that dialogue. So it just is like, laser gone. Understand? What? No, I... What?
You want me to get you another deer head?
You want to, like, bond by hunting or something so we can get over our, like, differences? I don't know what's happening.
Do you want me to kill the man who followed me and then cut his head off and put it on the wall?
That I think that's probably what he was going for.
Yeah, that's what it is.
She failed at that.
Yeah.
Because she does kill this man in a hunting fashion as he's calling, and she has that long-ass gun. But it would actually have been funny if Spider-Man came up and was like, are you alive? Are you alive? And just head cut off. But
I had to pause it when that happened. The whole laser thing, I was like,
huh?
Are we really? Like, I've seen some weird ass shit. I mean, we've watched tokusatsu in general. Like, we're used to it. But, like, I'm going to keep saying this at the end of time. This show is on a completely different universe than anything else in the amount of chaos that happens.
Yes.
Yeah,
but I appreciate it.
We've seen an episode of Die Ranger where a tofu monster gets an entire town drunk off from tofu wine.
Oh, God, the tofu monster. All the monsters in Die Ranger are such a nightmare to look at. Oh, Lord.
No, they're aesthetically appealing.
They're awesome.
Is that where Kabuki Boy comes from? Is that right?
I'm pretty sure.
Yep, that's my paralysis demon right there.
Who's Kabuki Boy? Which one is he?
The giant Kabuki head thing? Like, it's... I mean,
I don't remember.
Just look him up. He's a monstrosity. He's a giant, like, kabuki, you know, like, theater, you know, dance type thing. And that's it. That's all he is. And they, for some reason, tried to adapt it into what they pull into for footage in Power Rangers, which is the wildest rip of a monster ever. Because they don't call him that. I don't even know what they call him. But I was like, did they... Really? Was that the one you guys were going to be like, hey, this, like, clearly Japanese-only thing? Yep, bring it. Let's get the suit. Let's film it. Let's...
Butt it in.
Yeah. It needs to be.
They pulled that, but not Zonetta. Heathens.
Absolutely.
Like we said last episode, the kill count rises because one person... has died this episode, and that is the father. And I think we're going to get a second a little bit later. It's the son. The son dies, and it's a familicide. This entire family tree has been cut down.
I don't like the green tongue spit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you kind of skipped over. They combine. Did you say that?
I brought up the chameleon so we could now say they interspliced a chameleon with this biker. And he says, like, hey, he's going to be the illest biker in the world, some bullshit like that. But retains no
humanity.
Biker. Because if this were a Sentai later on, like, if this were Die Ranger shit, they would have kept a jean jacket on it.
Cool.
It would have been so dope, but instead it's this bump in the night claymation looking face of a chameleon that its tongue is always out and has a little hose at the end to just squirt out green gunk. This is the lamest monster we've seen so far.
Yeah,
I would say so. It's many of them, like, that era monsters, yeah.
Yeah, it looks like a paper mache art project.
Mm-hmm. No, it looked more like truly you had a bunch of clay and some kid was just like mushing their thumbs down on it.
Yeah.
Aesthetically unappealing, like me. Yeah.
Dang.
Rude.
Nicole, improvised freeform poetry style, some prose about 10 years of loving me.
No?
Wow, that's so beautiful.
Captivating.
I mean, that is 10 years of, like, your love towards me is me saying some bullshit and you going, kind of thinking about it. No.
Comma,
in public, no. But in private, it's me going, I'm going to go down on that character.
Okay, so she's referencing something that it will not be released because we're banking episodes of Sweet Child of Time for maybe 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But hey, Steve Barnes, that's the voice she was doing about the Aiel. The idea.
I'm not a human. I'm an idea.
Yes. Steve, that's the voice. Okay, this is Wheel of Time Amazon shit. Also, hey guys, listen to Sweet Child of Time. I'm doing some great predictions. I'm hoping these are coming true like they did for season one.
Yeah.
That's all my notes. He kills this once human chameleon and then is at that phone booth maybe and is like, I'll get you Zone Iron Cross Army.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I really appreciated Leopardon, though. Like, it was cool to see it in action because I've always heard of it being a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, even though this monster was, like, the lamest piece of garbage monster that I've ever seen in my life, I was like, yeah, get it, Leopardon. Beat his ass.
Hell yeah.
It was just fun seeing the transformation thing, like, comparing it to, like, as technology progressed. It was just, like, little pieces falling into place. And it's like, robot. I was like, okay. Cool. How am I going to question it?
Yeah. I think we've brought it up before how there's really no reason or explanation of how they grow big. Whereas
just fucking do. Like, there's not even a laser, nothing. They're just like, monster. Rah! Now I'm big.
And then in future Sentai series, I wonder when they think there needs to be some reasoning why they are getting big or how they are getting big. And Nicole, you've been like, I take it or leave those explanations. I love how they shoehorn in an explanation.
I also like the ingenuity and creativity with how they change things around when they adapt it for Power Rangers. It's my favorite thing to see what they do with it. Either they keep the goofy Sentai explanation or they don't. Like in Dino Charge, where they just don't have the same main villain. They have Sledge, and he just, like, smashes this button and says, Magna Beam Fire! And a laser from his spaceship goes down and hits the monster and makes it big. Like, okay, that's enough. I'm good. I got it.
I wish in Turbo they made it the same as Car Ranger. Hey, guys, eat this dessert from a specific carrier.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my. So it's not torpedoes in that. Okay.
No, it's a, like, rice potato dessert that they get from a specific vendor.
What if it's closed? They not get to be big?
No, they almost kidnapped the maker of it so they could keep making it specifically for them, because I think there was an episode where they couldn't get it.
Yeah.
Car Ranger's dope.
Beautiful. I need to watch it. Honestly, it's one of my Sentai I want to watch.
Hell yeah. So we're coming to an end, but we're not finished yet, Zachary. So generally in Spider-Man gets his powers from being bitten by a radioactive spider, giving him powers that of a spider. So if you were to be bitten by an animal to give you related powers, what animal would you want to be bitten by, and how would you use those powers to take down the Iron Cross army?
Ooh, that's a good question. My heart wants to say my favorite animal, which is a cheetah, but I want to challenge myself and say a hermit crab.
Ooh.
Just to see what I could do with that, because I feel like it'd be like an awful body horror thing on the like verge of like, you know, Kamen Rider Shin, like that type of like rip your body apart transformation thing, because it's a person becoming a crab. So I probably wouldn't be doing much against the Iron Cross Armory unless I got over my existential crisis of being, I don't know, man crab. I don't know what I would be called.
No, I think this works great. It's pretty much you. One of your hands would end up becoming like a, you're not going to have body horror. It's not like he grows extra limbs. You could, one of your hands is able to like grab onto people and kind of like rip at them or like pincer them, crush things. And then the other one's like real fast and you're able to jab.
Yeah.
Or the other one that pincers can also block. It's like a shield. I think you're a very well-rounded crab.
Yeah. But if I'm a hermit crab, then I would have to have, you also have to tie in the shell.
Okay. The shell, I think, is just a shield on your back. Yeah. Something
I just turn around really fast every time. Mm-hmm. Let me block.
Or it could just incorporate into your vehicle. Your vehicle is just this tank of a thing.
Yeah, the shell tank. Absolutely.
And that's how you take down the Zone Army. You just pile drive in there. You just tank into their base and you're just running it down and you're saying, I don't give a shit what you think. All right, you're doing evil, and I'm the defender of justice.
Yeah,
that's right. Now it's time to go to shell instead of hell. Let's make a pun with it too.
I was going to say you are the emissary of shell.
Yeah,
yeah, baby. Would it fire other crabs?
Yeah, you want to know? Yeah, and then you give Dr. Monster, Professor Monster, crabs.
Okay. All right. All right.
But you like sprinkle him on him. It's not like you. You want to know what? No, you seduce him and you bed him.
Oh my
sure. God. That's how I defeat the bad guys every time. Now we're. That's a different type of show.
And you kiss him tenderly and say, you got crabbed.
Yeah. And now you're not Dr. Monster anymore. I've changed you.
Your dick got grabbed, but now you're crabbed.
Oh. My God.
Your penis is also like a crab claw.
What?
I thought you said there wasn't body horror.
No, it's just like the head is like sturdy.
It's a shell.
Oh, that too. Oh, it's like
it's got like a, you know, not like a shell, but like a, you know, like how a crab.
Nicole, I thought I could trust you not to join in on this.
Nicole, you're just describing foreskin.
But it's hard.
Ew. It's a hard foreskin, okay?
Yeah.
Every woman's dream.
It's an exoskeleton.
That's the name of the episode right there. You want to ask for a name of the episode. A hard foreskin, okay, every woman's dream. There you go. There
it is. You want to know every woman's dream? Listening to Henshins and Homies.
Oh yeah. My gosh. Stop, guys.
Live on YouTube
Every other Friday, yes, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We just celebrated our one-year anniversary, actually, a couple weeks back. So, yeah.
If listeners of this show want to hop in, what would be a perfect episode for them to do that?
Ooh, there's quite a few. It depends on where they're at. If they're more on the Sentai thing side of things, or just in general, just tokusatsu and are like, wait, what is this? What are they watching? I want to know more. We have an episode all about literally how to get into it, like what it is, the history of it, like maybe some possible ways we can point in certain directions of how to watch it, wink, wink. Yeah, so there's that. We have an episode where we had Tom Constantine, one of the actors that was on Geets, the most recent season. We had him on the show, so that was pretty cool. Lots of them. We have lots of community people that make like helmets, custom figures, patches. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of them. Pick one at random, and I think you'll find some enjoyment.
Zach, like. I was setting you up to say, well, James was on an episode.
Yeah, there was that guy, I guess. I'm just kidding. Yeah, no, you were a good episode, too. That was fun. That was a lot of Car Ranger talk, and that made me want to watch it, and I still haven't, but I'm going to.
Do it. It's real fun. You got anything else to plug?
I did just, on the main channel for Henshins and Homies, did a video, a new series we got called Toku Spotlight, where we're kind of focusing on certain parts of tokusatsu, may it be a season or a character, things like that. I did a whole little series review on Kamen Rider Geets, went in detail, my thoughts on it, the most recent season, so you can check that out on there. And next week, we're supposed to have two returning guests talking about their time at Japan World Heroes, the convention, where this year's guests were Kamen Rider Gaim's actor, and I believe the actor for Gohan Red from Gohanger. So, yeah, we're going to talk to them about their experience at the con, so... yeah, we're pretty excited.
Hell yeah. Nicole, you got anything to plug?
Oh, yeah. Follow Darling Homebody on social medias and visit darlinghomebody.com for various things that I make. I got lots of stickers and pins and whatnot. And join the Darling Homebody Society for a monthly sticker or magnet.
And we're going to stores. We're going to get so much product in these places, Nicole.
Yeah.
I'm pumped for
you. Taking that out of context, that's oof. Get so much product in there. Make sure to get them hooked.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Get hooked on that spooky, scary, cute stuff.
Hell yeah.
And speaking of getting hooked on stuff, hey, listen to my music under Marshland Monster. Just put out a new EP with MC Deep. Do you know Tyler Bergquist?
I think so. I feel like I know the name. I feel like I do.
He was in theater and whatnot. You might have seen him tread the boards. Hey, that's out. It's called The Modern Myth. And this freaking October 13th, the long-awaited, long-talked-about, maybe it's been talking about this for a whole year, the 12-track single, yes, it's one song, but many remixes and instrumentals, extended cuts. It's Anal Dentata. I'm so excited for this song. It's campy horror inspired by the movie Teeth, which is about vagina dentata. But I want that in its butt. So check it out. It's very good. That's going to be October 13th, wherever music is found. Please listen to my stuff. That's the easiest way to support me by not really doing anything and getting enjoyment out of it. But listen to my other podcasts by finding out information about them by going over to mlmpod.com. Please, everyone, subscribe to the Marshland Media podcast feed. That's what you'll search for. That has Sweaty Time Pro Wrestling and the new show that Jose and I are doing every other Thursday. When you don't hear Mostly Speaking Sentai, you'll be hearing this show called Death to Squids. It is a Trancers retrospective. I'm taking him on a journey through all six movies. First episode's already out. It's very fun. Check that out wherever podcasts are found. And head over to patreon.com/MLMpod, where for $5 a month, you get exclusive content every single Friday. This Friday, Nicole, we are reviewing Next on Engage with Nicolas Cage from 2007, I think?
Sounds right.
That was a wild ride of a film. Goodness, goodness, goodness.
Yeah. I think it's our shortest episode ever of that podcast.
It might be, yeah.
But definitely our shortest recording, and I still cut out like 12 minutes of just silences.
Wow.
So it's a... I enjoyed it, but then upon like reviewing it, I'm like, oh yeah, this movie might have a lot of plot holes.
Yeah.
So please check that out. $5 a month, patreon.com/MLMpod. But if you're a $10 patron, you get all of that weekly stuff. Also, monthly exclusive content in the form of Straight to Patreon coming out, I believe this Saturday or Sunday, will be Nick Foster and I discussing Peter Jackson's 1992 movie, Dead Alive.
That movie was crazy.
Hell yeah. I forgot you also watched that. Nicole was not in on the discussion, but Nick and I, it's besides our episode with Torchy Berry and Sean Marciniak discussing Invisible Dad, this is our most analytical episode of Straight to Patreon. So that's that, the $10 tier, but you also get shout outs on every single free feed podcast. So let's begin with those, starting with Steve F., Eric Berry of Ranger Command Power Hour, Alex Z., the Waz, Orion, Jordan B., the Chaos Witch, my Bickle brother in common law, Joshua Jakus, Steve Barnes of Sweet Child of Time, and Intro Void, the womb in which I emerged, my mummy, Lil Corey's BFF, and now former roommate Shane, that Fed. Maybe you know Chris Fetter. Who knows?
Perhaps.
All right. twitch.tv/core winning. And from Formulaic and the ROM Complex, it's twitch.tv/R2Shelby2. I've been James.
I'm Nicole.
I'm Zach.
And we've been Mostly Speaking Spider-Man. Bye-bye. Woo. And thank you so much, Zach, for coming along.
Absolutely. It was fun.
Yeah. Bye. This has been a Marshland Media production, produced by James McCullum. For more content, please visit mlmpod.com. To support our network and have access to exclusive podcasts, head over to patreon.com/mlmpod and sign up today.
What would you like, kitty? Hello.
You got a cat? What's her name?
Egret, she's right here. Let's see if I can reach her without pulling my whole thing down. Let's see here. Oh, yeah, I can. Hey, look at that. There she is.
Oh, look at that cat.
Yeah, she's very floofy. She also, like, gives up about 33% of the way into cleaning herself ever. So I have to constantly brush her and, like, take care of her because she doesn't do it. And she gets mad and it's like, bro. Be a cat. Do your job. I won't have to do it.
You have one job.
Right. To do nothing, exist, and clean yourself.
Yeah.
Our old cat, Franklin, he was like that, where you would just have to brush him nonstop and then, like, wipe him down with wipes. He was also very old, so.
Well, yeah. No, she doesn't have that excuse. She's just lazy as shit.
He had to wipe his butt all the time.
And he was overweight.
He wasn't overweight. He was perfectly plump.
Okay.
But you know who's not overweight? Spider-Man.
Oh, no.
He's not. I say he's not.
Oh, yeah.